Hi, everybody. Happy Friday, or as I like to call it, Fri-yay. We made it to the end of the week, and I hope this podcast episode finds you well. Thanks to everybody who's been listening to the podcast. I really appreciate your support, and I hope you're enjoying it. Don't forget, you can listen to this podcast everywhere podcasts are offered, except for Spotify. However, for those of you who want to participate in the podcast live streams, that we will be having another one coming up here soon, you will have to use the Podbean app, but that's okay. I will be uploading everywhere that I upload, sharingchade.com, Patreon, everywhere, a tutorial on how to download the Podbean app for free so that you can participate by chatting, calling in, etc. during the live stream. So you can actually participate, which will be super cool. But before we get to that, that's a little bit down the road. Today, we've got a lot to talk about. First, Prince Harry continues to uplift the military community by honoring Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Marks. Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, has celebrity A-listers waiting with bated breath to see if they're the next to receive her coveted American Riviera Orchard strawberry jam. And despite the royals' best attempt to compete, RO continues to reign supreme even before it's officially launched. You talking about powerful? That is how you know she's got something great on her hands, and her influence is immeasurable. But speaking of the royals, while King Charles focuses on bringing his green initiative to Sandringham, trouble may be afoot with Sophie and Edward, who reportedly feel slighted by not receiving special honors. You never can trust those Ford Fiestas. Let's continue. As if that isn't enough for the ailing king, allegedly the firm is beginning preparations for his funeral, leading many to wonder if his health is worse than previously reported. Mm-hmm. All that and more, you guys, so let's get started. Once again, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I'm your host, Sharian Sade. I really appreciate the support, and I hope you're enjoying the podcast. So before we get into today's topics, I have to tell you what I've been up to. I have been obsessed with this show called Fix My Flip. It's currently streaming on HBO Max, but it originally aired on HDTV, and it is starring Paige Turner. Now, Paige Turner is from Flip or Flop Nashville, where she and her ex, Duran, he's also a former football player, and he's now a contractor, where they used to flip homes. And HDTV ended that series after two seasons, as well as Flip or Flop Fort Worth with Andy and Ashley. And those were my two favorite Flip or Flops. I love their flips, especially the price range, because those are the kinds of houses that I could actually afford. I like to fix my flips with the real expensive homes, but I can't afford like a $2 million house. So I preferred the ones that were a little bit more realistic, and it showed such great ways that you could make the most out of smaller spaces or just like smaller homes. So I really miss those shows. So I found out that Paige Turner has a show on HDTV titled Fix My Flip. Oh my gosh, it's so good. She negotiates on camera. She works with all kinds of flippers. She shows so much about the construction side and the design side. And she shares tips on how to get the most for your design budget and how to negotiate with contractors and suppliers and vendors. Oh, it is such a perfect show. I hope they get a season 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. But Paige Turner, she is so good at what she does. Have you guys seen that? Anyway, I've been binging it. It's like my favorite thing right now. I've been watching it on the treadmill. I'm watching the heck out of that show. It is so good. So that's what I've been up to. What have y'all been up to? What's gotten you through the week? Let me know. Well, it's time to get into our topics. We have a lot to talk about. I have a lot to talk about regarding Harry and Meghan, but we also have a little bit to discuss with the royals. Before we do that, I did want to say, you guys, please don't forget that I am American and I speak English, but I speak American English. And I have to remember that 50%, I think it might be a little bit more now, of my audience is actually not in America. So in some of the countries that where people are listening to my podcast the most, English is not even the first language there. So even when they do hear English, it's likely in a very different dialect and a different accent than what I speak. And so several words will sound different there than they do here. And even here, accents are regional in America. So what sounds one way in New York is going to sound completely different in Atlanta, and that is okay. I appreciate feedback. I will never turn away genuine feedback. But I am not keen on criticism, especially criticism that's based on your personal preference. And I want us to be very mindful of that. But Prince Harry actually addressed this, which I feel like accents are way more common than some people realize, but it's just weird. I've always been surrounded by people with accents, Spanish accents, German accents, Australian accents. Like I've always lived in a very metropolitan area. So I've always just respected the differences that I have with people. But I think when I came online, I met or interacted with a lot more closed-minded people than I realized. And one woman left me full 2 voicemails ripping me to shreds about how I pronounce orchard. And I'm like, girl, I know that millions of people pronounce it orchard. That's fine. When I first started recapping archetypes, I got like 10 emails of people saying you're supposed to pronounce it archetypes. And I was like, no, that CH ain't working that hard, baby. But I think it actually comes more down to a matter of preference and region or even just location. And I need people to realize, like, if it's distracting, I always encourage you to do what you got to do on your end. But at no point is it my job or the job of any other creator to really adhere to your preference. Now, if there are true inadequacies or challenges that really need to be addressed, that's one thing. But when it comes down to a personal preference, we've got to check our entitlement at the door. And at the door is when you press play. And then it's up to you, whatever you want to do with that. But I want to share Prince Harry actually speaking on this subject. We are here for a great time and good vibes only. While I'll always operate with efficiency and accuracy to the best of my ability, this is YouTube and not CNN nor the BBC. Please adjust any expectations accordingly. In addition, due to the nature of my content,
many people expect me to speak in a British accent. Words like privacy, charade, and can't are expected to sound British.
Because the Americanisms to the Britishisms, it's very different.
Right. Fanny is to us is different than what Fanny is to y'all.
Basil and basil. Oregano and oregano.
Sidewalk and pavement.
Yep.
Horseback. Vitamin and vitamin.
Yep, horse riding or horseback riding. Where else are you gonna ride the horse?
However, I am American. My accent is American and I do speak in an American accent, not British. If this is an issue for you, I truly encourage you to find content that aligns with your interests. And for the rest of us, let's get ready to have a great time. So I hope that addresses that. I also put up a little message on Patreon for people who were saying some not so nice things to me about being from the country, which that is not something I find to be a problem or derogatory in any way. I'm very proud of where I come from and what has helped to make me me. But if the way that I speak is a problem, by all means, do what you got to do, boo. I'm not going to stand in your way. So now that we've got that addressed, that is the last time I'll be addressing that. At this point, I'm just going to be like, oh, suck it up and get over it. Just like, ah, get the hell out of my face. I'm just going to move on. I personally do not care. So I'm just going to move on. But that is the most courteous I'm going to be about that moving forward. But we do need to move forward. So I am excited to talk about Prince Harry yet again honoring the military community. Now, on Sussex.com, the only hub where you can find the most accurate, valid, and firsthand information about Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, without second guessing, is straight from the source. Sussex.com uploaded a new update in their news section, and I am excited to talk about it. So it's titled Honoring Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Marks. Last night, Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Marks received the prestigious Military Times Soldier of the Year Award, a testament to her unwavering dedication, exceptional bravery, and outstanding service in the United States Army and beyond. SFC Marks' journey is one of remarkable perseverance and achievement. When the young combat medic joined the U.S. Army in 2008 at the age of 17, her mission was to champion her family's legacy of military service. Despite facing significant challenges, including bilateral hip injuries, which would shape the rest of her trajectory in the Army, she has demonstrated an indomitable spirit and a tireless commitment to her fellow soldiers and country. Her resilience was not only evident in her recovery and return to active duty, but also in her exceptional performance as a competitive swimmer. Prince Harry first met SFC Marks at the Invictus Games Orlando in 2016, where he presented her with not one, but 4 gold medals that she'd won in swimming. Since then, SFC Marks has gone on to become a 2016 ESPY Pat Tillman Award recipient, wow, 2017 inductee into the Army Women's Hall of Fame, 5-time Paralympic medalist, 10-time world record holder, 15-time American record holder, 2-time games record holder, and 1-time world championships record holder. Holy crap. She is the first Paralympic female in the U.S. Army World Class Athlete Program, as well as the most decorated athlete in the U.S. Army World Class Athlete Program's history. Her achievements underscore the values of strength, compassion, and excellence that define the best of our armed forces. Quote, Ellie has courageously overcome every obstacle to cross her path. She has turned her pain into purpose and led through compassion and willpower, showing others that the impossible is indeed possible, despite the injuries she's endured during her deployment as a medical assistant in Iraq, along with numerous surgeries and setbacks that would have deterred many. She has persevered tirelessly, becoming the first woman in the Army's world-class athlete program, as well as the first swimmer the program has ever seen. She's also taken her recovery a step further, using her experiences and achievements to inspire and assist others in their mental and physical journey into sport, ensuring those who can't see a way out or through are introduced to the medicine of sport that saved her too. That was from Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex. So let's take a listen to his speech.
Good evening, everyone, especially those who are serving, have served, and continue to serve. Tonight, I have the distinct honor of presenting this year's Soldier of the Year Award. I first met Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Marks at the Invictus Games in Orlando 2016, where I presented her with not one, but 4 gold medals that she'd won in swimming. To me, she epitomizes the courage, resilience, and determination represented across our service community. And this is not just because of her swimming abilities. Ellie has courageously overcome every obstacle to cross her path. She has turned her pain into purpose and led through compassion and willpower, showing others that the impossible is indeed possible. Despite the injuries she endured during her deployment as a medical assistant in Iraq, along with numerous surgeries and setbacks that would have deterred many, she has persevered tirelessly, becoming the first woman in the Army's world-class athlete program, as well as the first swimmer the program had ever seen. She's also taken her recovery a step further, using her experiences and achievements to inspire and assist others in their mental and physical journey into sport, ensuring those who can't see a way out or through are introduced to the medicine of sport that saved her too. Through the Invictus community, she has supported so many, coaching Ukraine and Colombia when they've needed it the most, always remembering what it was like at the beginning of the healing journey. Ellie, you embody the Invictus spirit through your selfless service. You know that sport doesn't just save lives, it transforms them for the better. And in finding your own cure, you've helped countless brothers and sisters in staying alive. And in finding your own cure, you've helped countless brothers and sisters in staying alive. Your unwavering commitment serves as a beacon of inspiration, offering hope and setting a powerful example for others to follow. I am honored to call you my friend and can't thank you enough for being you and for Mason, your husband, being so supportive of you. To all the service members in the room tonight, past and present, know that your community and indeed the international community is grateful. Grateful for all the sacrifices you and your families have made. Grateful for your service to your country. Grateful for continuing the important values we learned. Tonight is for you. Thank you for all that you've done.
And thank you, Prince Harry, for that amazing speech. Now, the Military Times Foundation presented the Service Members of the Year Award. And for the past 23 years, Service Members of the Year Awards have honored one outstanding military, active duty, guard, or reserve member from each branch of service. They are selected based on exemplary military service that goes beyond the call of duty. Now, she was not the only person to receive an award. So the 2024 award recipients were, of course, Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Marks, and she received the 2024 Soldier of the Year Award. Colonel Nicole Mann received the 2024 Marine of the Year Award. Personnel Specialist First Class Alexander Boston received the Sailor of the Year Award. Senior Airman, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry if I don't say this correctly, Kostyantin Kamenchenko won the Airman of the Year Award, Captain Daniel Reynolds won the Guardian of the Year Award. Chief Petty Officer Matthew Casper won the Coast Guardsman of the Year Award. And Frederick W. Smith was awarded the Veteran of the Year Award. And get this, you guys. This is a nice surprise. Not surprise, but I didn't realize this at the time of reporting on this. But as I scroll down, guess who was the presenting sponsor? Fisher House Foundation. As you know, I am one of the groundbreakers for Fisher House, meaning I am one of their ambassadors for online engagement, and I conduct live streams twice a year to help them fundraise. Last year, we raised, I think, $3,500 for them at the end of the year, and it was around Christmas time too, you guys. I was so surprised and so proud, but we really showed up and showed out for Fisher House, but they are presenting sponsors, so I thought that was such a cool thing. They have a lot of sponsors, but I wanted to share that because that was such a cool full service, full circle moment. But for people who have been, and they're always going to do this, and I'm not always going to comment on it, but I love to see Prince Harry operating in his element. And more often than not, that has something to do with the military. He has done so much for military personnel globally. And as you know, he is a trained Air Apache pilot. And he's done 2 tours in Afghanistan. But a lot of people, for some reason, discredit his work, which I think is so insane. Like, my dad is a veteran, and he's always, whenever we've talked about it, he's always said nothing but great things about the work that Prince Harry has done. We've had long conversations about the impact of Invictus Games and things like that. And so, and Fisher House Foundation, who is a sponsor of the Invictus Games. And it's always so surprising how people, especially those who are not in the military, undermine Prince, or try to undermine Prince Harry's amazing brilliance when it comes in the space of promoting and supporting military members. I would love to hear the kind of response they get if they were to say that to someone who's actually competed in the Invictus Games. They're not that bold or brave. Like, you got to still remember that these are stone cold train killing machines. Like, you can talk all that shit on the internet. Take your butt to Invictus and say that and see what happens to you. You end up in a headlock. It's a lot different outside of grandma's basement. But anyway, I wanted to share just a little bit about his military experience, because it really does. Now, not a lot gets under my skin, y'all. When people like to shoot off their mouth about, one, Meghan has never held a job, she's gotten ahead by all these nefarious means, that ticks me off, because you can literally see how hard that woman has worked for over a decade. But when people undermine Prince Harry's amazing work in the military and outside of the military, supporting military personnel on all levels, ooh, that ticks me off. Like, those are my 2 buttons. Like, you want to get a wrath? Play with me on that. So I wanted to share this because I just think it's important when we get an opportunity to share some of the behind the scenes or some of the history behind why he does the kind of work that he does. I think it's important to try and share that.
The military service literally saved me.
You've 2 tours in Afghanistan. You learn to fly an Apache helicopter, which is not easy to do, and not many people know how to do that. It seems like you found your purpose in the military.
It seems perfect, because I then had the opportunity to be part of something bigger than myself. I was born into service. It runs in my blood. I'm always going to serve communities. I'm always going to serve people as much as I can and use this position for good. And I really get genuine healing from helping other people. Ultimately, it challenged me beyond anything else that I could have ever imagined.
Harry's proudest moments: his service in the Army as an Apache helicopter pilot and a veteran of the war in Afghanistan.
10 years in the Army was the best escape that I've ever had. An escape from all sorts of intrusion. But I also felt as though I was really achieving something. I felt as though I was part of a team.
Prince Harry was so attached to his team. He says he was devastated when he was pulled out of the war zone after his top secret deployment was revealed by foreign media.
Prince Harry is back in Britain tonight, quickly withdrawn from the front lines of Afghanistan after a secret army deployment was revealed.
I'd done everything I could to get out there, literally being plucked out of my team. And there was an element of me thinking, I'm an officer, I'm leaving my soldiers, and it's not my own decision. I was broken. And then suddenly I find myself on a plane, and while I'm sitting there, I look through the curtain in the front, and there's 3 of our lads wrapped up in plastic, missing limbs. One of the guys clutching a little test tube of shrapnel that had been removed from his head. And he was in a coma, clutching this thing. And I suddenly thought to myself, people don't get to see this. These people are role models, and they need to be celebrated more amongst society.
Prince Harry makes a special point of celebrating the servicemen and women critically injured on their tours of service. Creating the Invictus Games, an athletic competition for wounded veterans.
Some of these guys should be dead. Never before have we had so many amputees survive from such unbelievably traumatic injuries. I'm now lucky enough to watch someone who should be dead run the 100 meters. You want the definition of inspiration? That's probably it.
How's the training going?
It's going well.
Nice.
His bond with the athletes is apparent. Mike Goody, a former aircraftman who served in the Royal Air Force, was injured when his patrol was hit by an IED. He lost his left leg and suffered post-traumatic stress, but he triumphantly came back to take 5 medals in swimming in the 2014 Games.
What does it mean to have Prince Harry here encouraging you all every step of the way?
In all honesty, Prince Harry's been an absolute legend. He was literally boosting everything, pumping everything, getting everyone going, really encouraging, drumming up support.
I understand you have a bit of a tattoo. Do you mind sharing what that says? What does it say?
I miss my friend with an arrow pointing left.
That's the humor you were talking about.
Get back in the pool. More training, come on.
No one wants sympathy. All they want is an opportunity to prove themselves. That's what this is all about.
The next Invictus Games will be held this spring in Orlando, another place that brings back memories of his mother.
So that's actually from a special that he did, I believe, with Robin Roberts. But anyway, I love that he was able to talk about his amazing military work. And that was from some years ago. But he's since done several other interviews regarding the Invictus Games. One of my favorites is actually with Hoda Kotb. I really enjoyed that interview. I felt like she asked such great questions. And I love that he was able to pull several competitors from their training to talk to her as well, and they were able to get publicity. But anyway, Prince Harry has always been about supporting and uplifting military personnel globally. And I think that that's something you can't erase that, no matter what side of the fence you're on, whether you support the royals or support the real royals here in America, Harry and Meghan. It doesn't matter who you support or who you're behind or who you agree with. You really can't change history and you can't change that. Thank you again to Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, Captain Wales, for uplifting the military community yet again. It was really nice to see that update and to see Sergeant Marks receive her award. So now we have to move over to what Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, has been up to. And you guys, she has been keeping celebrities on their toes. Everybody's waiting to receive American Riviera Orchard or Orchard, depending on how you pronounce it. Ciao. receive their strawberry jam. And the Daily Beast actually posted, I don't really read them that often, but they posted a hot take article written by Laura Bradley titled, "Meghan's Strawberry Jam is the New Ivy Park Box." You know what? That could not be more accurate. Do y'all remember when Beyonce relaunched Ivy Park with like the new designs and everybody was waiting to receive that giant orange box? And I know I wanted one. I wasn't on anybody's mailing list. I was not anybody's influencer, still not. And I was still like, Beyonce, if you could just pull one through for your Texan, please. I never got my box, but I did purchase some of the items from, I believe it was adidas.com and Topshop. I got some of the stuff. But anyway, let's read this article. It says, "Remember when every celebrity anxiously waited to see if they made Beyonce's pre-sale list? Meghan has recaptured that marketing magic, sending her rare packages to A-list friends." Now, here's the funny part. Somebody suggested on Twitter, I'll have to go find the tweet, but somebody was like, what if she doesn't actually sell the jam at all? What if this is just what she's doing for her friends? And I said, you know, now that would be hilarious. People are losing their minds over it. But I really do hope she does sell it, because I'm about a couple of jars, y'all. It says, "If Meghan's lifestyle brand, American Riviera Orchard, and its strawberry jam are all part of a grand plan to troll the royal family, chances are it's working." I can answer that for you, Laura. No, nothing that Harry or Meghan do is to disrupt or upset the royal family at all. it just so happens that the royal family would be upset when Harry and Meghan simply breathe. They find fault in anything Harry and Meghan do, and it's because they know they themselves are inadequate, and anything Harry and Meghan do is going to be successful. And so it shames them in a way that if they had confidence and actually substance to work from, they wouldn't feel. But instead of collaborating and uplifting and supporting, they choose to compete. And you're always going to be the first loser the moment you choose to compete with someone who is not studding you. Anyway, see that country jump out, studding, y'all, who's not interested in what you're doing. Let me clarify that for people who don't know. Although the sugary preserve, now how y'all know it's sugary? Shut up, they get on my nerve. Now Laura Bradley, you started off on a neutral moment with me. Let's see how this goes, y'all. Let's see what list I'm gonna put her on as far as reporters that I reference. Although the preserves have yet to hit store shelves, people are already smacking their lips thanks to a brilliant PR campaign that rips a page right out of Queen Beyonce's marketing handbook. Now, listen, as far as marketing, I can see why these two strategies are compared, but we really don't even know if this is a marketing strategy as much as it's just Meghan sending her jam to people. And the reason I say that is because, one, it's not foreign to send things to people that you love, especially when you have a new venture. When I wrote my book, I sent it to family and friends before it went on sale, and I gave some copies to my coworkers, and I signed them, and it was like a real thing. And I just did that because it's the nice thing to do. But I didn't do it to market the book. But the thing is, a lot of them did post it and it got their friends interested to be like, oh, you know the person who wrote this book? I'm going to read it too, blah, blah, blah. And it did spread like wildfire. And I had like a little summer moment of people promoting my book for free, which is actually pretty cool. But the reason I call this being considered a PR strategy into question is because when Meghan had interviews at her house, the reporters who were able to visit her home said that she sent them away with a basket of goodies from her garden. And I'm not sure if they said fresh preserves was part of that, but they did say she packed a really nice basket of goodies from her garden for them to take away. And it's like a really polite thing to do. And so Meghan was doing this before it was a business. So it could just be her being Meghan. Left and right, a select few celebrities have begun rushing to post video and photos of jam baskets that have been sent out to them, complete with bright yellow lemons and handwritten notes from the Duchess of Sussex herself. You'll notice that the immaculate penmanship on the letters is the same as on the jam jars. That would be Meghan's handwriting, perfected through her past life as a part-time calligrapher. I swear, Meghan has such a resume. Ugh, and I love how she uses everything that she's learned at every phase of life to continue to build her life now. I love that you always reference yourself kind of thing. Never let a talent or a skill go to waste. I love that she does that. We haven't seen a celebrity product rollout like this since Ivy Park sent out those huge orange boxes to a select few A-listers in January of 2020. If I were a royal who cares about the supremacy of the King Charles established Duchy Originals jam, I'd be quivering in my stolen jewels. Oh, it seems like Lauren is just a troll. No, I'm not going to be mad at that, Lauren. Does anyone else remember Orange Box Mania, which struck during that innocent time just before COVID-19 hit? I still think about it sometimes, late at night, particularly before birthdays and holidays, when I'm trying to imagine the presents I would most desire. Okay, girl, same. To promote her athleisure line, Beyonce sent some of her closest and most famous friends a custom collection of Ivy Park apparel delivered in a gigantic orange box big enough to fit an actual living human inside. You know what? I'm not going to lie. At one point, I wondered if the last person to receive a box was going to be like her mom or like her biggest fan or like the president of her fan club. And she was going to be in one of the boxes and like sing a song and then go home or something. I really did think it was going to culminate in Beyonce being in one of the boxes. I did. I now look back and I'm like, how would that even work? But I did. This inspired stunt was a brilliant way for Beyonce to publicize a clothing line that had already existed for 4 years because it was big, loud, and most importantly, undeniably grammable. It also provided content-hungry media outlets an obvious hook. Instantly, we all began to wonder who made the list and who did not. Ellen DeGeneres? Yes. This was pre-scandal, after all. Janelle Monáe? Obviously. Kim Kardashian? Yes. Although in true diva fashion, she posted it conspicuously late. Yes, she did. I didn't even think she got one at first. How do we know that she posted it late versus she didn't receive one until later? How do we know? Evidently, the Duchess of Sussex and former Suits actress were taking notes. Now, y'all don't know that. Megan has yet to announce when us peons will be able to buy. Now, see, that's a you thing. Now, just because you see yourself as a peon, boo, don't mean that I do. I'm not no peon. Megan has yet to announce when us peons will be able to buy her jam from Williams-Sonoma or wherever. But a decidedly posh section of society's upper echelons have already joined her jam club. The jars she sent out each contain batch numbers, which indicate that 50 were made in total, a brilliant addition to Beyonce's Ivy Park rollout that will help us speculate which of her famous friends she loves the most. Now, wait a minute. Now, how do y'all, it might just be when she knows they'll be home and we'll be able to receive it, because it's not the kind of thing that can sit outside. It also may have to do with where they are in location. Don't make problems where there aren't problems. It also could have been in alphabetical order. We don't really know, you know, when they received, and we know what number they are, but we don't know when they received these. So y'all just trying to start a mess. Who got jar number one and who barely made the cup with number 50? We'll have to wait until everyone posts to find out. So far, it appears no one has ranked past 21. No one who has ranked past 21 has dared to share. That's not true. We just saw number 6. Then again, neither has the lucky recipient of the number one jar. Maybe Meghan and Harry decided to keep that for posterity. Maybe it's Meghan's mom. So far, Meghan's close friend, Kelly McKee Zaffin, co-founder of the nonprofit Alliance of Moms, is winning the jam race. Town and Country reports that she got jar number 3. Next up, Meghan's Suits co-star Abigail Spencer got jar number 6, but her real flex was posting it with what appeared to be one of Harry and Meghan's beagles. "This jam is my jam," she captioned her sun-soaked post. "A delicious taste of what's to come indeed. Love you so, M." Suits Nation stays winning. Now, I'll say this. I loved everybody's presentation. Obviously, I loved that Nacho was actually eating the jam. I really liked Chrissy Teigen's video. I liked how she presented hers. But I'll say this. Abigail, her pictures were the best so far. Her pictures were so beautiful and bright. And then she uploaded again yesterday showing herself in front of like a lemon tree. And it was, her pictures were gorgeous. I love the way she uploaded about this. Married Sussex besties Nacho Figueres, an actor and model, and Delfina Balquier, socialite, came in next with jar number 10, according to Town and Country. Not to be left out of any PR rollout, Kris Jenner nabbed lucky number 13, while fashion designer Tracy Robbins posted jar number 17 to her Instagram story, writing that she was not sure I'm sharing with anyone. I don't blame you, girl. Mindy Kaling got jar number 19, and Chrissy Teigen shared the jar she and her husband John Legend received number 20 in an Instagram reel. Meanwhile, Tracy Ellis Ross posted jar number 21 to her Instagram story, which is so cool. It's anyone's guess who might be next, but if I were to name a few, I'd go with the beloved Suits star Gina Torres, Oprah Winfrey, who attended the royal wedding and also interviewed the couple in one of the most viral TV events of all time, Meghan's close friend, celebrity beach bowl buddy, and baby shower planner Serena Williams, and Beyonce herself. How are y'all gonna leave out Tyler Perry? I would not be shocked if Tyler Perry was number one. I'm pretty sure he's 1 through 3. I'm pretty sure. Of course, he is her youngest child's. I keep calling the man the bodyguard. It's because I've been listening to Cowboy Carter. Godfather, not bodyguard, y'all. he is her youngest child's godfather, Princess Lilibet Diana. And so I wouldn't be shocked if he was number one. Buckingham Palace might be trying to ruffle Meghan by advertising its own jam just days after she announced her own. But something tells me that with celebrity friends like these, she isn't breaking a sweat. Sometimes comeuppance can be sweet. Now, Laura Bradley, we had a few turns in that article, but I will say for the most part, it's not bad. That was a good article. So what do you guys think about it? Let me know. I personally think, who do y'all think is number one? By the time this podcast comes out, watch number one already be announced, and I'm gonna be wrong and I'm gonna be embarrassed. But all I know is number one isn't me, and that makes me really sad. But it's either her mom, or I personally think it's gonna be Tyler Perry. I do. I think it's going to be Tyler Perry. If number 4 hasn't been announced, I would not be shocked if Beyonce wasn't number 4. I wouldn't be. That would be just so perfect on both sides. So I don't know. But who do y'all think is going to be number 1? Y'all let me know. I'm interested. But speaking of the jam, apparently the palace is trying to compete. Now, I'm reluctant to say they're competing. Let's get through the next article and then I'll let you know what I think. I'm reserving the right to have an opinion on this just yet. Let me get through this article. So Vulture wrote an article, which I was reluctant to read because it seemed like the writer, Rebecca Alter, may have had some kind of, and she had an opinion and it felt like it was bleeding through her words. It wasn't exactly what she was saying. It was how she was choosing to say things. So I'm going to read it straight through. I'm not going to stop and give my opinion. I'm going to wait to the end. I promise this time. But the title of this article is "The Royal Smeared Meghan Markle's Jam." And again, this is written by Rebecca Alter and it was published to Vulture. It says, "Come on and slam and welcome to the jam." Okay, I like that intro. At the height of global concern over the whereabouts of Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, in March, Meghan Markle, see what I'm saying about how it seemed like there's a little tension? She called out Kate's official title, but not Meghan. Okay, all right. Meghan Markle decided it would be the best opportune time to make, to make a very important announcement of her own. She's launching a line of jellies and jams. Sorry, that probably downplays the grandeur that is her new brand, American Riviera Orchard. She'll be, she'll also sell marmalade and spreads, plus dinnerware and kitchen linens. It's all very Williams-Sonoma, the height of Galleria core elegance and befitting an American duchess. And I want to just point out, she capitalized American, which is the right thing to do, and lowercase the duchess, but she should have used, she's acknowledging that she knows Meghan's official title is Duchess of Sussex, which should be capitalized and should be used as her name because that is her name. It's the little things. Anyway, until recently, this was all just a big brand launch with nothing yet to show for it. Products aren't up on the site yet, though you can sign up for the wait list. But earlier this month, Meghan started seeding, jams for an initial run of 50 jars to friends and influential people. The flavor, strawberry. The presentation, nestled in gift baskets full of lemons. Friends posted the jam to their Instagram stories as early as April 15th, and celebrities like Mindy Kaling, Kris Jenner, Tracee Ellis Ross, and Chrissy Teigen followed suit, with Teigen even posting a reel to her grid on Wednesday, April 24th, the same day that Jenner posted it to her stories. The jam made us happy for the entire week, Teigen wrote in a caption for the video, which shows her pairing the jam with butter, with bread, butter, brie, and bacon. That actually sounds really good. Obsessed, Kaling captioned in her Insta story. If your Insta algorithm knows you like royal drama, cute jams, and the strawberry girl aesthetic, you would think your explore page would be wall-to-wall American Riviera Orchard. You'd be wrong, because that same day, the British Palace declared war on America in jarred form. The official Instagram page for the Buckingham Palace gift shop posted a reel of their own jam on April 24th, advertising their own jars of Windsor Castle Strawberry Preserve. The timing could not be more pointed. Prior to Wednesday, the page had not made a jam-centric post since February of 2023, and even that one saw their strawberry preserve sharing the stage with her sisters, Scottish Heather Honey and Fine Cut Marmalade. Oh, sure, their strawberry jam jar had snuck its way into the background of a couple of still life images, like one for the Royal Tees cookbook and another for International Picnic Day. Now, all of a sudden, they're posting a whole reel of glamorous, frankly sexy strawberry preserve close-ups, demonstrating how you can use it four ways on a scone, a crumpet, a croissant, or even toast. Egregious. They've got that stiff upper lip over at the palace, but trust that this is the equivalent of a full diss track. It's shots fired. She was having too much fun in this weird article. The post really goes Buckingham wild with the caption, quote, "Our strawberry preserve is made using only the finest berries and is delicious served in a variety of ways. Is the official Royal Collection gift shop implying that Meghan is using berries that are less than fine?" I could kind of see how she made it there, but the way I'm set up is to think they didn't say anything about Meghan at all. So this has nothing to do with Meghan. So, I mean, I'm sure they would want it to, but I love that Meghan doesn't sweat the small stuff, because I'm sure this didn't even meet her radar. And I'm glad, because this is so petty and silly. Let them have a one-sided battle by themselves. To quote the Welsh poet Tace, I'm not saying that correctly. I don't know any other way to say it. Quote, "The cheek, the nerve, the gall, the audacity, and the gumption." And when you click on the link tree in their bio, the top link on the Royal Collection page is jam and marmalade. Meanwhile, there's an all-out brawl going down in the comments of the post. Quote, "Very tacky, low blow. That was entirely immature and unnecessary. I thought Buckingham Palace was supposed to exude class and grace. Guess not," wrote user Kasha Goody. "Why buy an imposter when you can have the real royal strawberry jam?" countered user Brentman Wife. Other users are just taking a step back and watching the world burn, like user Stephanie Perron, who wrote, "Plates are flying in Montecito." Why? Like, why would she be upset about this? Explain it to me, because it seems kind of silly. To Megan's credit, this is a nice reminder that launching American Riviera Orchard is a less tacky move than her critics would have you believe. Look at the whole damn gift shop apparatus of the firm. They've got more merch than a Hard Rock Cafe. But to Buckingham Palace's credit, the preserves are priced at a fairly reasonable $3.95, which comes out to nearly $5 for a little 200 milligram jar. Not bad for... don't know. This is so weirdly written. Hold on, let me expand this. Okay, not bad for a stocking stuffer. Now, American Riviera Orchard has yet to list prices, though those jars look built to gouge. Now, see, how would you know that? How do you know? Why would the jar look built to gouge? Actually, everything looks homemade. So I would actually think it looks like it's not going to be as expensive because she didn't go with these crystal jars or anything like that. I mean, she went with very, very homegrown look. I actually love the authentic look. It looks very textured. It looks very homegrown. It looks very personal. It looks like something that you would find in the everyday household. I love the way that they packaged it. It says, I wouldn't be shocked if Megan's jam is $18 or more a jar. I mean, that's quite a leap. You don't even know how much it costs. You didn't even look up the cost of the jam or the cost of the jar wholesale that they would be packaging this in to even make a comparison. So you really don't know. But to say $18 is quite interesting. All of this is just spreading conjecture, though until Vulture can hold an official taste test that meets our rigorous food journalism standards, Megan, please get us on that early jam distribution list. Watch this space for breaking updates. This is shaping up to be quite the competition. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't tell people what to do, but if Megan is reading this article, don't send them a damn thing. Listen to your petty bestie. Girl, don't. Keep doing what you're doing, which is being great and ignoring these people who have nothing better to do other than obsess over you. Now, here's what I'll say about the jam, quote unquote, competing with American Riviera Orchard. It could be one of two things in my mind. I'm inclined to think the worst, so I'm going to give you the best option so that I'm not being cynical. They could have just seen that a royal person was making a global buzz over something that they also sell and decided to capitalize off of it and market their own jam to try to make more money. And in my opinion, if they were on great terms, that would essentially be kind of the thing to do. But because they're on bad terms, it is very tacky. And in my opinion, it's a little bit exploitative. Also, the fact that people were coming down on Megan for even selling jam at a time when Kate Gate was going on, I find that to be hypocritical for anyone to be upset with her about, because in any other situation, everyone is happy to acknowledge that the firm cut off Harry and Meghan, when really Harry and Meghan cut off the firm, but whatever. The firm, you know, they don't want anything to do with Harry and Meghan, yet they obsess over when they're going to come back. And when they do come back, it's all about them. And when they don't come back, it's all about why they didn't come back. But, you know, y'all know how people do. And so, because they love to remind us that the firm wants nothing to do with Harry and Meghan and that they don't think anything they do is correct and blah, 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 then why are they trying to make money off of them now? One might say it's just smart marketing. Okay, we'll take that. But on the other side of that, people were attacking Meghan for selling jam or doing anything. Meghan went outside during the coronation and we're not even sure. Well, we know now that it was during the coronation. She went on a hike. But she was photographed going on a hike the weekend of the coronation, and all of the coverage was about Meghan going on a hike. And people blamed her for that. Although she's not editing the papers that put her front page. She's not writing the stories that go beneath the pictures. Like, she's not selling the pictures. She's not calling the paparazzi. But they still got mad at her because hundreds of people decided to prioritize her for the interests of millions of people. But she took the blame for leaving her house, but okay. And so I say that to say anything Megan does, they're going to see it as, oh, they're trying to overshadow the royals, which isn't very fair. I don't think that their intent is ever to do anything regarding the royals. I think their intent is to continue to build their life, their brand, and continue their philanthropy work and their business work. Like, and I think that's what their goal is. And when you aren't bothered with people, that upsets them. When you are someone's motivation, but they're they lack the self-esteem to really say, you know, you inspire me, you motivate me. They get embarrassed that someone else that they kind of want to be, in my opinion, or at least want their impact and their influence, they get embarrassed that they feel that way about you because they secretly want you to want them. And when you don't, and when you ignore them, or when you say, you know, hey, do your thing, I'm not really interested in what you're doing, it offends them because you're not interested in them, but they are interested in you. And they feel some kind of way about that. And so they make everything you do in their minds about them. Sounds a little narcissistic. So what I'll say is, had it been the other way around, had Meghan been going through something, as she has before, and the royals continued on, stiff upper lip, get over it, and keep going, keep working, like they love promoting, like, oh, the royals, they're gonna get through it. They're going to just ignore it and keep pushing. They're going to keep working. Then Meghan would have received, they wouldn't have said anything about the royals being, callous or exploitative, or they're trying to bank on blah, blah, blah. They would have just said, that's how the royals do. They keep working. No matter what Meghan is going through, they're going to keep working. So when Meghan just keeps working, then it turns into something negative. Why aren't y'all applying that same logic to her? Like, oh no, suck it up and get on with it. Stiff upper lip. Okay. Kate is going through whatever Kate's going through. Meghan still got a job to do. And to also call out the timing. Oh, in the beginning of the article, it says, oh, Meghan conspicuously decided to release her her jam at a time when Kate was missing and all this stuff. She thought that was the perfect time when Kate, I don't think she cared what any of them were doing because they weren't part of her rollout. And if you think the timing is odd, I've got a lot to teach you about timing and product launches. You don't launch a product in 48 hours. That takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, and a lot of work and a lot of planning. Her product came out after likely months or maybe even more of planning. So no, they're not going to deter that because a random princess who was trying to bully Meghan goes missing, especially when those people are determined, no matter what they go through, to continue to try to make sure that Harry and Meghan are going through something as well. For example, when Kate's cancer was announced, the first thing that they did was brief the media that Harry and Meghan didn't know before anyone else. They knew when the public knew. Why did they need us to know that? Why is that a news story? See, if they would worry less about trying to be petty and worry more about their health, I'm sure things would be a little bit different. But besides that, it's a lose-lose game for Meghan. If she launches a product and it goes great, then they're going to blame her royal status. If she launches a product and it doesn't go well, they're going to blame her lackluster status. Like, they're always going to pigeonhole her into a box of being the villain because that is the role they want her to play in their story. And what I dislike greatly is when media outlets, but especially American media outlets, like to ride the fence, have a strong opinion and stick by it. I don't like the petty, vindictive, passive-aggressive reporting. I called out InStyle on Twitter a couple of days ago because when Chrissy Teigen tried her jam, they led with it. When I first reposted it, the headline was something like, Chrissy Teigen loves Meghan's jam. But at some point, the headline was changed to Chrissy Teigen tries Meghan's jam, and here's why she won't be trying it again. And for some reason, something told me to go back and look at what I had retweeted. I can't remember why. I just went back to look. And I saw that the headline had changed. And I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. I wouldn't have retweeted this with this original headline. Y'all are shady. But I read the article and the article was the same. The headline had changed. And the article was nothing but glowing comments about the jam. But the headline was salacious. And I called them out for it. I said, hey, at Chrissy Teigen said she loved the jam and she wasn't going to use it too much because she wanted to preserve as much of it as she could. But it was because she loved the jam. Why did you lead with an intentionally misrepresentative headline? Why'd you do that? And a lot of people had very similar questions. It always disappoints me because InStyle is home to several really good articles about Meghan's fashion, about her ventures, about her appearances, and they typically get it right. But from time to time, they will lean into this, let's play the other side and get as many clicks as we can. And it is very disappointing. We're seeing fewer and fewer media outlets with integrity. And that's disappointing. I'm not a big fan of that. I wish more people would do right, including Vulture. Not really sure why you tried to do this fence riding post. And it's one thing to be unbiased. It's a whole different thing to be fence riding. And that's the issue. If you were unbiased and just reported on what you saw, that would be different. But the fact that she tried to take petty jabs, wasn't a fan of that. So anyway, all in all, my thoughts are, I think the palace was just trying to market their jam and they saw the buzz and they tried to capitalize off of it. Because at the end of the day, it did shut down a lot of the criticism Meghan was getting for her timing, which I wish people would step back and then go back and say, okay, well, Meghan had a miscarriage and Harry and Meghan, they lost security. Well, the security was pulled at a time where their location had been shared globally and had been leaked when they were getting a lot of threats. What was the royal family doing at that point? Were they halting all their work and trying to see to it that they helped Harry and Meghan? No, they were actually playing an intentional role of being against them and causing as many barriers to safety as they could for them. And I would love to have seen that being called out. If it's being called out on both sides, like, oh gosh, you guys, you got to be more considerate of your timing for one another, I might ignore it and be like, okay, that's their opinion. But it's the fact that the rules are different for Harry and Meghan than they are for the rest of the royals. And that really annoys me. How unfair. Harry and Meghan are in America. They are not caring about what's going on in Europe. They're not, and they might care, but they're not going to be halting. They've got the ball rolling on their businesses and their philanthropy work. They've got their team growing. They just hired two new people for their PR team. They're doing really big things. They're making a big impact and they're continuing their work, continuing to scale new heights in all facets, at BetterUp, everywhere. They're doing big things. So my question would be, why would you expect them to pause or halt their operation, a successful one, for a sinking ship like the Royals? Interesting. That's my question. Anyway, if a little old jar of jam can cause this much bullshit, I would just tell Meghan to take a step back and look at your influence, girl. You're killing it. You're doing the damn thing because you've got them all hot under the collar and I cannot blame you. Maybe one of these days they'll take a chill pill and realize like it's better to work with them because they're a very successful duo than try to work against them because this is a forever failing mission. But anyway, let's move over to the next topic. But before we do that, don't forget you have the option to comment, especially if you're on Podbean. Let me know what your thoughts are on the jam wars. I don't think it's a war. I think it's a one-sided losing battle for the royals and a successful venture for Meghan. But that's just my personal opinion. But speaking of the royals, apparently King Charles has set his sights on bringing green ideas home to Sandringham. And it's being reported by CNN, so I'm inclined to believe it. This was written by Billy Stockwell, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to go straight to the information. King Charles III is making plans to install around 2,000 solar panels in the grounds of Sandringham Estate in a sustainability drive that could see the entire country property, powered by zero carbon energy. That's actually not bad. I think more people need to follow suit. It's an ambitious proposal, which, if approved, will produce enough energy to meet the current and predicted future electricity demands of the 20,000-acre royal residence, according to a proposal submitted by a planning agent on behalf of Sandringham Estate earlier this month. Sandringham has been the private home of four generations of British monarchs since 1862. It is also where the royal family traditionally gathers to celebrate Christmas. The new venture, confirmed by CNN by a Sandringham Estate spokesperson, will provide renewable energy to power Sandringham House and the visitor center with any surplus electricity returned to the grid. That's actually a good idea. This is the kind of stuff they need to be really focused on. This and more of this. Sandringham Estate promotes sustainability in its operations, and it's committed to using green practices to maintain the estates for future generations and to reduce its impact on the environment. The solar panels will be built on a secluded plot of land near Sandringham House, currently used as horse grazing paddocks. This way, the development would not result in the loss of any productive agricultural land, according to the planning agent. The site is surrounded by mature trees and it sits just outside the estate's formal gardens. 6 meters, nearly 20 feet of hedge grow will have to be destroyed to allow access to the site. If the development does get the green light, but the applicant says there would be no adverse impact on ecology. That's really good to hear. But even though this is where he is focused, apparently he is still making enemies. Good on the green initiative. I want to see more of that. And it's actually not surprising because that's kind of been his platform for his entire time as Prince of Wales. So I'm not surprised to see that lead over to his reign as a monarch. But even though his focus is on antagonizing his daughter-in-law, bullying his son, and bringing in new green initiatives, I guess he's a multifaceted king, that one. Apparently, he is pissing off his royal court. Prince Edward and Duchess Sophie feel disappointed by King Charles's royal title snub. Did y'all know about this? Now, we do know, we talked about it. We do know that King Charles recently awarded Kate, William, and Camilla with new honors. And we kind of made fun of them. The Guardian wrote a very funny article about that. But the rumor mill around the royal gossip has said that Prince Edward and Duchess Sophie, aka Ford Fiesta, were shaping up to be the new chosen ones by the British royal family. But as it turns out, the pair will need to wait a little longer to be fully acknowledged as such. Anytime, like, listen, Edward didn't bother nobody, but Sophie, that girl has tried to play mean girl for so long. So anytime she gets a snub or gets ignored and she realizes all that mean girl behavior did not pay off for her in the end, I find it to be so entertaining. How do you try to compete with Diana, which turns into you trying to become a carbon copy of Diana and copy everything she did, which got under Diana's skin? She was so annoyed with Sophie tagging along, trying to copy everything she did, even got the same haircut as her. She tried to copy Diana and then tried to bully Meghan. Like, she tried to kiss up to the queen. Then she tried to kiss up to Kate. Like, she is just, ugh, she's like the worst version of woman that I can think of. Like, she's just that person, like a hanger-on and a wannabe mean girl, but she doesn't have the sauce. Anyway, on April 23rd, King Charles granted Queen Camilla, Prince William, and Kate Middleton Brent. Oh, why'd I leave Kate's? Well, I swear, they have been, all these publications have been subtly leaving out Kate's title more and more and more. They don't even call her Catherine anymore. And I think they're being encouraged to do that. They all received brand new titles. Middleton was named the Royal Companion of the Order of the Companions of Honor, which marked a major royal first. William and Camilla, meanwhile, earned the Great Master and the Most Honorable Order of the Bath, previously held by Charles in 2022, and the Grand Master and First or Principal Dame Grand Cross of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire on. Oh, God. Anyway, Edward and Sophie were not honored with any new titles, and they reportedly feel upset about it. According to Us Weekly, Edward and Sophie knew that the new appointments were on the way. They knew Charles was getting ready to announce the new honors, and he also told William and Kate in advance. William and Kate were really thankful, and it gave them a boost to be acknowledged, especially with such amazing accolades. Kate's honors sting for Edward in particular. The Royal Companion of the Order of the Companions of Honor is a special award granted to those who have made a major contribution to the arts, science, medicine, or government, lasting over a long period of time. And Edward has been patron of the arts for a while. They have really stepped things up with their commitment to service over the past few years. Edward's household was hoping he would finally get an honor. He's dedicated to the arts, and that's often overlooked with his theater work, and he served briefly in the Marines. I like Edward. Edward hasn't bothered anybody, so I always try to take it easy on Edward, and he was the only one that was civil and normal to Harry and Meghan during the Commonwealth Day service, you know, the one where they were famously bullied by William, Kate, and Ford Fiesta. Edward was the only one that was like, I'm not playing these childish games. And so I like Edward, but this is a little bit funny. Charles is so petty. In the meantime, Sophie and Edward will continue to bide their time in the hopes for new titles to come their way soon. Sophie has been supportive of him during this transitional period, and they are really hoping it leads to something bigger and shows that they are up to the task. It was very disappointing, the snub, but they are still as loyal as ever and know in its time they will be awarded. Charles has done nothing but sing their praises lately, and it's brought them even closer as brothers. That's really good, but Charles may have wanted to avoid bestowing honors on Sophie because it may bring up the fact that her motorcade murdered a woman, and they tried to stuff that down in the news cycle. So he might not want Sophie to be like headline news for a while because that might come back up again. He's probably trying to let some time pass, especially since they never made things right with that woman's family. This new report comes amid us previously reporting that the Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh had been heralded as the royal family's new chosen ones after stepping up for King Charles in April 8th anniversary celebration parade of the intent cordial. Edward and Sophie have taken on more engagements amid Charles being diagnosed with cancer. So what do y'all think about this? Do you think they have a right to be upset? I think of it in several ways. I don't ever really feel, except in extreme circumstances, I don't feel most people have the right to demand they be awarded or rewarded anything based on merit if they don't have something to show for it. So like if you have a log of times where you have really stepped up and you have really played hard for whatever the award or the reward is. Like, you come in first in this thing and you've just done outstanding work over here. You really don't have the right to demand to be awarded anything. I think the fact that you don't have to work, but you get to live a very, very fancy life is the reward. I think the fact that no one has come and shut you down yet and the scam hasn't been figured out by the masses is more the reward. I think you should just be happy you're still there. Especially since nobody knows what you did. Now, we just watched over on Patreon, we watched Impact and Nightline's The Crowning Crisis. And I talked specifically about Omid Scobie's contribution. He was the only person that participated in that gave it any kind of validity. And he was the only person that was actually speaking on facts. And he had the closing statements of the entire episode, which is appropriate. And at the end, he says, it's all about what the public can see. And so if they can't see you, what are you really doing? That would apply to Edward and Sophie for me. It would be weird for people to see you get an honor when people really don't see you that much and you don't really leave a lasting impression. I think they should sit with their PR team or their team in general and just say, how can we really step out? How can we really take on some of this workload? How can we really show ourselves to be assets to the royals? And I think that you should go forward with that, with their suggestions. I think they want to do very little and receive a lot. And I don't think that's Edward. I think that's actually Sophie. I think she just wants the glitz and glam. But what are you willing to do for it? People really don't take to her well. People didn't take to her well when she was competing with and then copying Diana. People didn't take to her well when she was trying to bully Meghan. People don't like mean girls, especially mean old ladies. Like, at what point do you grow out of that? It's so immature and it's so unbecoming, especially of a woman of status. But, you know, who knows? That's those headband ladies Diana warned us about. The ladies who wear the headbands, who she couldn't stand. That's Sophie. That's Sophie. So anyway, what do y'all think about this? Do you think Sophie and Edward have a reason to be mad? And do you think they will eventually receive some sort of high honor? Let me know. And while we're discussing that, we have to get to our last topic. Charles's team has dusted off funeral plans for the monarch, as sources say his condition is not good. I have thoughts on this. Let's get through the report, and then I'm gonna give you my thoughts. This was written by Mahara Bonner. I've read a number of her articles. She's really good, and this is written and published for Cosmopolitan. Plans for King Charles's funeral have reportedly been dusted off amid growing concern about his health, according to a new report from the Daily Beast. Additionally, the outlet reports chatter that King Charles is significantly more unwell than his aides are letting on, a narrative that is increasingly proliferating in British society. It also spoke to friends of the monarch, who then, when asked about his health, said, "It's just not good." On top of this somber news, King Charles's funeral plans are reportedly being regularly updated, and there's a document circulating Whitehall about what worked and didn't work at Queen Elizabeth's funeral. Apparently, officials are regularly reviewing copies of Operation Menai Bridge, the code name used for plans regarding King Charles's death. Of course, they are looking at every aspect of Menai Bridge, another insider confirmed. The Queen's funeral went like clockwork and set a high bar. It's not an emotional thing. It's a job, one taken very seriously, and understandably, no one plans to get caught out. While all of this is worrying, it's uncommon for royal funeral plans to be kept up to date. Oh, it's not uncommon for royal funeral plans to be kept up to date. Author Christopher Anderson recently told the Daily Beast in part, quote, "It's not just the king who has to review his own funeral plans. Every senior royal does. William and Harry were only teenagers when they were asked to plan their own funerals. They're asked to pick their own music, flowers, and prayers, and who will read them. Royals are constantly reminded that when they die, their send-off will be a major headline-grabbing event. They can't escape this macabre fixation on death. King Charles's reign will be definition by short, but it's anyone's guess at this time just how short. In the meantime, the tried and true practice of revising funeral plans should not be used to make that determination." That was actually what I was going to say. I remember around the time that the Queen turned like 85, I think, it was a monthly article in one publication or another where they explain what are the practices that will take place when we get the call that London Bridge is falling, which was the code that Queen Elizabeth, or London Bridge has fallen, which was the code for all news outlets that Queen Elizabeth had died. And I remember they started those a long time ago, well before she passed away, well over a decade. And that was like a monthly article where they talked about that constantly. What was the protocol? What could we expect to see? What would happen globally? Blah, blah, blah. And so I'm not surprised, especially with King Charles being really old. He's in his late 70s and he's really old to be a new king. He's one of the, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he the oldest person to ascend to the throne at this age? Let me know. But I know he's one of the oldest people to ever ascend to the British throne. But what's also curious to me is the fact that he has cancer, and we're not really getting the most transparent report of that. It feels like they're saying that he's okay and he's responding well to treatment and he's carrying on. But the way they're moving feels like they're preparing for an imminent death that might be sooner than we expect. Here's the thing. We're all going to die at some point. Nobody makes it out of this thing alive. But it does seem like the way that they're moving might be sending the message that it's a little bit more, rapid than we were led to believe, which is, I wouldn't expect them to do anything else. And the reason is, I would expect them to tell us that it's not anytime soon while making plans and knowing the truth, because their goal is to keep the public from panicking. That's always their goal. So if their goal is to keep the public from panicking, they wouldn't do anything to say any day now he's going to die, because then people couldn't settle into his reign. And do you recall, and I know my Patreon members do, in January, I posted a straight to Patreon video. It was just exclusive for Patreon members, where I talked about how for the past few months, at the end of 2023, there seemed to be a fixation on looking past King Charles's reign. He was almost seen as an interim king and looking towards Prince William's. And I felt like the media seemed to know something we didn't. And I was like, it seems like they're just ignoring King Charles. Like, he's currently still in his reign. Is this the result of Prince William? Is he doing this? Is he planting these stories? Like, what's going on? Why are they acting like King Charles isn't going to be here long? Only for a week after I posted that video for him to announce that he had cancer. And I was like, I wonder if there was some chatter about this months before we knew about it as the public, because you could tell by the media fixation on Charles having a short reign and William being the next king, and what would a William monarchy look like. I thought something was up. And even now, the way that they were reporting that at the time, it just felt so off. And knowing what I know now, looking back, I feel even stronger that they knew about his diagnosis well before they announced it. I feel like they knew about his diagnosis well before the end of 2023. That's just my thought. Now, I'm probably wrong, but the way that media outlets were reporting on him and the way that they were looking forward and ahead towards William's reign instead of acknowledging Charles's, I just thought was bad business. It didn't feel right. But that's just my thoughts. So that is all I have for y'all today. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I hope you have an amazing weekend. If you haven't already, don't forget to go ahead and like this podcast wherever you are. Don't forget you can rate and review on whatever platform where you're listening. And if you are on Podbean, you can actually comment on every episode, kind of like a YouTube video, and I can see what you're talking about. Don't forget, for all things Sherry and Sade, you can find my content across all of my platforms in one hub at sherryandsade.com. I have a Vimeo, a Patreon, a podcast, and at some point I might upload to YouTube again, but I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. Who knows? But anyway, thank y'all so much for watching or listening. I appreciate it, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Hi,
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast.